All right. There's an old saying that in a ham and eggs breakfast, the chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. This is where you all stop being chickens and you all become pigs. Well, I've been waiting a long time for me to be able to call somebody else a pig. All right. I picked this up October 4th, 2001. In the last 10 years, the U.S. prison population has gone from 1 to 2 million, a little over 2 million. You know that in the last 10 years of the 1 million, some 60 to 70% are nonviolent drug offenders. Black men and a lot of black women serving 15, 20, 25-year prison sentences on no drug conspiracies. You know that 30 to 40% of the prisoners, inmates in this country are housed now by private corporations who trade their stock on Wall Street based upon how many human beings are in jail. Corrections Corporation of America and Wackenhut. Wackenhut used to have a little blinking sign on its website about how many human beings it had in jail so you could buy stock when there are more people under contract. Wackenhut's heavily tied to the CIA, so is CCA. But I noticed this. This is from the New York Post, dated October 4th. And it says that within 2 weeks of September 11th, stocks of private prison companies increased by more than 300%. An emergency request outside of the budget was let loose out of the U.S. government, extra budgetary, off the budget for 40,000 new prison beds. Now, are there 40,000 Islamic terrorists in the United States? No. Who are the beds for? Let's go, baby. Come on. I'll tell you when I get there. But it's on my list of things to do. I'm so swamped. But I have to look at, not going to prison, but I have to look at the new budget to see how many more beds they're budgeting for. A lot of people are going to be going to jail. Now, as we have the flood of Heron next year, and President Bush and our drug czar, John Walters, whose father was deputy director of CIA Vernon Walters, and Asa Hutchinson, who was covering up at DEA, who was covering up CIA drug dealing at MENA, start saying if you use drugs, you're a terrorist. Might be a good time to invest in prisons. You know? I don't know. How cynical are you? Now, let's take a look at the Patriot Act. I need a drink. By the way, I'll tell you, I'm a recovering alcoholic and I haven't had any mind-altering substances in 19 years. I have written more than 20, 25 articles for the U.S. Journal of Drug and Alcohol Dependence. I have, and I to this day, I work with men in recovery from all kinds of addictions, and I will tell you that drug addiction is a medical, a social, and a spiritual problem. It is not a criminal problem. Never has been. Things are moving a little bit too fast now to think in long-term strategies about how to fight this. Before September the 11th, I would have said that one of the ways you could stop this would be to end the war on drugs, and the best way to end the war on drugs was to fight tooth and nail for medical marijuana. You know, that's the Achilles heel of the drug war. I don't think we have that kind of luxury and that kind of time anymore. But pulling the plug on the drug war would take, the only reason that money is in the drug trade is because the drugs are illegal. Sorry. That's, you know, one thing, but we have to stop thinking. We don't have the convenience to think in terms of pre-2001 liberal activist strategies. And here's one of the reasons why the Patriot Act. And you've got to get my Portland videotape, please. Ron Paul of Texas gave an incredible interview. So did Cynthia McKinney of Georgia. This act is an abomination. We have lost one-third of the Bill of Rights, and you don't even know it. And let me tell you exactly how we lost them. The FBI now has the right to enter your home when you're not there without a search warrant, to seize evidence, and to use it in court against you. The Fourth Amendment prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures. The FBI and the CIA can now automatically wiretap all of your emails. No warrant necessary. All of your telephone conversations. No warrant necessary. As a matter of fact, in the ultimate FU that I have heard since Iran-Contra, John Poindexter, who was Oliver North's boss during Iran-Contra, less than a week ago was made director of the Office of Information Awareness and given a $2 billion budget to monitor all emails in the United States for anything of interest to the president and telephone. The Fourth Amendment's gone. Now, John Ashcroft said, I'm going to wiretap attorney-client conversations. Only in terrorist cases, I swear. Only when the people have brown skin. And he did that by fiat. It wasn't even an act of Congress. And Senator Pat Leahy wrote him 6 letters and said, Attorney General Ashcroft, I want you before this committee, the Judiciary Committee. He finally demanded a written response by the 13th of November. He got one. It was an anthrax letter. Maybe it was October, but I think it was November. President Bush announced military tribunals wherein those accused can be executed in a secret trial with no public exposure, even if one-third of the officers disagree, that the evidence against the accused does not have to be presented, and that he has no right to confront his accusers. The Sixth Amendment to the United States Constitution provides every person in this country the right to see the evidence against them and to confront their accusers in a public trial. There goes the Sixth Amendment, 4, 5, and 6. And the Patriot Act also says that if the FBI comes to your office in a terrorist investigation and seizes all of your business records, that you cannot tell anybody that the FBI has been there, or you will go to jail. There goes your freedom of speech. Part of the First Amendment. Self-incrimination was the fifth. That's gone in the wiretapping. Protected conversations. Husband, wife, lawyer, client, priest, rabbi, minister, with confessor. Protected gone. Just gone. How many of you have been out in the street screaming about the loss of your Bill of Rights? Yet. God bless you. How many are going to think about it after tonight? Let me tell you something else. Are there any lawyers in the room? Okay, nobody will admit it. All right. Under the Patriot Act, now everybody here knows that the FBI and the CIA have been wiretapping people all over the country for decades. And we go, well, gee, why is that new? Well, you boneheads. I didn't mean to put it that way, but you missed the point. All of the information the FBI and the CIA has gathered by illegally wiretapping for 30, 40, 50 years, going back to COINTELPRO, going back to anti-war, going back to civil rights, Martin Luther King, all of it, could never have been admitted into a court of law because it was gathered illegally. Under the Patriot Act, all of the information that FBI and CIA have gathered illegally can now be turned over to the Los Angeles Police Department, the Chicago Police Department, the San Francisco Police Department, who may then use it as probable cause information to get an investigation of you. And when they find one other piece of evidence, all the probable cause information goes onto the record. The exclusionary rule is gone. Now, you sit back and you say, well, I read the Patriot Act, Mike. It has a sunset clause. All these draconian provisions go away in January 2005. Wrong. What it says in the sunset clause is that these provisions expire except in cases where the investigation was begun prior to January 2005. So all they have to say now is we started this investigation in December 2004, and there is no sunset clause. There is no Santa Claus. So you sit back and you say, well, okay, there's congressional oversight. Right, okay. There's no congressional oversight. God bless Barbara Lee. I met her in person, and she contributed some stuff for the videotape. So you say, all right, the executive branch, there's no but we have a Supreme Court. I don't even have to go there, do I? They broke the law to give George W. Bush the election. They're already corrupted. So what does that mean? We are living in an empire. Treat it like an empire. Don't delude yourself. Stop writing letters to your congresspeople. I see that some of you are going to go rattle Nancy Pelosi's cage. Oh, she deserves it. Okay? But don't go to her by any means expecting any member of Congress to be able to help you. I was in Washington for 5 days in December. I met with McKinney. I met with Waxman briefly. I met with Ron Paul. I met with Barbara. I got 20 members who subscribed. They're scared shitless. They weren't even getting their mail while I was there. They couldn't get their own mail. And you naively think that I'm going to write to my member of Congress and they're going to do something? There are some members of Congress at the committee chair levels, the whip levels, and Pelosi's a whip who exercise some real power, but she's also the ranking member now of the House Intelligence Committee, which is chaired by a former CIA officer, Porter Goss. Don't try to go to a member of Congress and say, change the government. You can embarrass them. That's good. You can out them. You get them into a public venue and you confront them with what they're doing in public. But don't go expect them to do for you what you should have been doing for yourself for the last 50 years. Period. I mean, these guys are scared. And I interviewed Ron Paul, and look at what he said. Our forefathers would think it's time for a revolution. That's why they revolted in the first place. They revolted against much milder oppression. He was amazed that the American people were rolling over. He's saying, I don't get it. I don't get it. What's wrong with these people? I'd be in the streets. He may have views you may not agree with on abortion and everything else, but get your priorities straight. He saw your Bill of Rights being taken away, and he said, it's time to fight something here. What's wrong with you people? And I went to a conference in L.A. with all these liberal lefties, and they had the Michael Parentes and the, you know, Mike's not bad, you know, he's still in that old cookie-cutter mold, but all these liberals in L.A., and I haven't heard the word Constitution used so many times in my lifetime outside of a Republican. You know, people are getting the fact that once the Constitution starts going, we're in trouble. Let me read you a little quote here out of order before I wrap this up. Abraham Lincoln suspended the writ of habeas corpus in 1866 during the Civil War, and he put some protesters and resistors in prison. The Supreme Court, when we had a Supreme Court, said the Constitution of the United States is a law for rulers and people equally in war and in peace, and covers with the shield of its protection all classes of men at all times and under all circumstances. No doctrine involving more pernicious consequences was ever invented by the wit of man than that any of its provisions can be suspended during any of the great exigencies of government. That is what a court is supposed to tell us about this Constitution. Period. Now, for all the FBI agents in the audience, I will tell you something, and I will tell you something fearlessly, and I'm not ashamed to say it. According to James Madison, Monroe, Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, Aaron Burr, Patrick Henry, Ben Franklin, all of the founding fathers, a revolution is my divine right. And I will not apologize for it, and I will not be ashamed to say it. Because I know the truth, that the legacy, what gave modern era politics, which we've all been brainwashed to forget, was the fundamental understanding that God wove freedom into every fiber of creation. You cannot take it away. The most offensive statement I have heard since September the 11th was Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge when he stood up at his confirmation public press conference And he said, civil liberties are one of the most precious gifts that we give to our citizens. I got news for you, Governor Ridge. You don't give me nothing. You don't give us nothing. We give it to you then sparingly, and we have the right to take it back whenever we choose to, if we choose to, and if we have the will. Period. How long did it take for the Black Panthers to teach African Americans to be proud of who they were? How long will it take people who live in this country to remember that they were endowed by their Creator with inalienable rights and not be ashamed for wanting to exercise them? Maybe the Black Panthers, what was done with the Black Panthers, that teaching ought to be applied to every citizen in America in terms of taking responsibility for our own government. Just a thought. Now, before I wrap up, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act is a pending bill which Health and Human Services has now introduced successfully into 24 state legislatures. We've got a story up on the website and from the wilderness. It has been passed already in the state of Kentucky, and it's being enacted as a state law the same way they enforced the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. The Health and Human Services is saying, we're going to withdraw our federal funding for Medi-Cal and Medicare, bada-bing, bada-bing, if you don't pass this law. This law makes it a felony to refuse a vaccination when ordered by a state government. This law makes it a felony to refuse any medical treatment ordered by a state or local government. This law allows state and local officials in cases of declared medical emergencies to seize any private property without recourse, compensation, or any hearing, condemn it, or appropriate any private property for use during any medical emergency. No trial, no nothing. This allows any state or local agency to quarantine, seal off any neighborhood, evict anybody from their home, stop all water transportation, put people in any kind of lockup they choose to. It's already been passed in Kentucky. Now, you put that in context, it's being moved rapidly throughout all of the countries. But let's look at some what's going on here. Since 410, remember that's a British date, that's October the 4th, the largest outbreak of an Ebola-like virus took place on the Pakistani border, Afghani-Pakistani border. 75 people. Wonderful quote in here, the doctor says, you watch the patients melt in front of your eyes. We look at this. The British government has moved, this was dated 7 October, just after the attacks. The British are digging up 10 victims of the deadliest disease ever to hit the planet, the Spanish flu, who died around the turn of the century, to get the DNA, just in case it ever outbreaks again.